must be having way too much fun with the blindfold.
Say goodbye.
She's not coming back.
Say bye-bye.
Living in Las Vegas.
We're going to miss you, Rosie. Now.
Tomahawk said no.
No, seriously, we will. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome from Las Vegas, Nevada. That groovy little podcast that gives you a true first-person look into what it's like to call Sin City your home. The Living in Las Vegas podcast.
Look out. Look out.
Sky-15, step by. And now your host,
yes,
a man who clearly needs some kind of introduction, otherwise you wouldn't know who he was.
Yes, my brother Scott.
Mr. Scott Whitney. Look at me, I can fly. Welcome, everybody, to the Living in Las Vegas podcast here on the Vegas Video Network.
It's a special election 2016 version where we're going to...
Fuck that. We're not doing that. You can see my buddy Doug Geinser is here. We're going to be talking to Doug in a few seconds, but guess what? First, I want to congratulate you because you, my friends, are watching or listening to the longest running podcast about Las Vegas that actually originates from Vegas, which means we're not only going to cover what it's like to live here, No. We're going to talk adventures on the Strip, downtown, Fremont Street, elsewhere in the valley. And by the way, if you're a visitor, you're a tourist, you're a fan, maybe you're just thinking about moving to the Las Vegas. Well, guess what? This show is like your own secret handshake to all things cool and groovy. Hey, we're live every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. Pacific time at VegasVideoNetwork.com/live. Again, that's VegasVideoNetwork.com/live. Hey, we're doing something special today. We're also streaming live on the Facebook Live. Hello, Facebook Live people. Doug.
Hi.
Great. And we're also on the YouTube. Hello, YouTube people.
Hi.
Excellent. And like Christina Aguilera says, come on over, baby. Come on over. Get yourself over here. Be a part of the fun. Be a part of the show. Get yourself in the live chat. You know what? Doug's already recognized that there's some of the nicest people in the whole doggone world. He actually said off the camera, he's like, you know what? These people are fantastic. I wish they were my friends. You know, they seem a little stalkerish. And then we said, no, they're not stalkers. They're the best buddies ever. And here's the great thing. You get in the live chat. You get to be part of the show. You drive the show. That's how important they are. We actually have a segment called Live Chat Questions. But wait, there's more. Here's the secret handshake part. Guess what? We start streaming this show before we start recording this show. So you get to watch a little behind-the-scenes show prep, but here's where the good stuff is. This is the double X-rated stuff. Once the show's done recording, we're still on for another half hour, 40 minutes. What are we doing there? It's VVN 2.0. It's the X-rated stuff. It's the after-dark stuff. It's the stuff that we couldn't really talk about during the show, but man, we really wanted to talk about it to somebody. So it's kind of like therapy, and that's what we use the live chat for. Hey, by the way, I'm your host, Scott Whitney. Konnichiwa, buenas noches, how you doing, hot stuff? I am the founder of the Vegas Video Network. So, A, thank you for watching and supporting this show. And thank you for watching all of our shows, including Doug over there. Now, what's the over-under? I know that this is the election night, and so we all want to go out and see if anybody's got a loaded handgun anywhere so we can shoot. Oh, is that who won? Fantastic. Anyways, so the over-under is going to be 63 and a hook. And I saw somebody new in the live chat, just me. I'm not sure who that is. I do want to say thanks to Rosie for sending in that opening video. We're going to miss her. And like I said during the video, I'm a little disturbed by how comfortable she was with the gag or bollock with the whole that. I'll miss her too. Okay, enough. Bye, Rosie. So the topic today is healthcare in Las Vegas. Is McCarran Airport your first stop if you're diagnosed with an illness? Hey, Doug.
Hi, it's Scott. Yeah, I feel like that's a loaded gun.
Well, hold on. We'll get to you in a second. I just want to set the table here. Now, listen, to be a world-class city, you absolutely have to take care of the health and well-being of your citizens. Now, Las Vegas is, what, 2 million or so people?
Yeah, 2.2.
Let's call it 2.2. Rounding error, 2.5. What the hell? Maybe we're 3. I say we're about 4.5 million people. We're very, very big and very, very important. And you got to take care of your people. Here's the thing. There's this joke that's been around Vegas for...
Ever.
And the joke goes like this. Where is the first place you go if you're diagnosed with an illness? And the answer, McCarran Airport. Now, that's a pretty funny joke. It's a nice setup.
Not.
But my guest thinks it's an absolutely crappy joke. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Doug Geinzer. Doug is arguably the most informed, connected person in Southern Nevada when it comes to healthcare. He is the CEO of Las Vegas HEALS. HEALS is an acronym. HEALS stands for... I kind of want to ask you if you know, but I wouldn't do that to you.
Give me another wine, I may.
HEAL stands for Health, Education, Advocacy, Leadership of Southern Nevada. The N is small.
That it is.
That's right. Ladies and gentlemen, Doug Geinzer, everybody. Hey, Doug.
Hi, Scott.
Welcome.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, so let's first start off and figure out what this HEALS thing it is. So, you know, what is HEALS? And actually, quite frankly, from what I know, and, you know, we're roommates, kind of, in that his office is right next to
when
our studio.
When we put that hole in the wall.
Well, I know. If you're looking for a sales training class in persistency, this is the guy you want. Because every time I see him, he's like, can we put a hole in the wall so I can bring my people over to your studio while you're not there? I'm like, well, there's a porn place just a couple ways. Never mind. Anyways, so HEALS, this is actually a 2.0 version.
It is.
Of Las Vegas HEALS. Give me a little bit of background of this organization.
Well, it started out as an economic development initiative back in 2002. And the whole mission was to improve the quality of healthcare in Southern Nevada. And so it happened right after September 11th. A lot of bad shit happened in Vegas. And everybody said, well, we need to diversify the economy. How do we get away from the reliance on gaming, diversify into other industry? Everybody got together and they said, here's what we want to do. And it sounded cool. And everybody went, well, you can't attract companies and great organizations to move here if you've got shitty healthcare and shitty education. So a small group of us got together and said, let's... And that shitty healthcare.
So in the beginning, that joke was accurate, arguably.
Yes.
Okay, so continue.
Yes, it was, we were challenged back then.
Well, was it accurate or was it just there was bad PR, quite frankly?
It was both. It was both. So Vegas has been plagued in the fact that nobody expected it to grow the way that it did.
Right.
We were the fastest growing city for 22 years.
Yep.
And the educational infrastructure in Vegas was non-existent. So if you need to grow a healthcare workforce, we didn't have the programs to do that. So a group of us got together and said, well, let's fix healthcare. Mm-hmm. Not an easy task.
Now, what was it called at the beginning? It wasn't called Las Vegas HEALS.
So I'm going to share the dirty secret. It was started out as the Southern Nevada Medical Industry Cluster. Yeah, that's what I said too.
Were you part of the group that actually created that name?
No.
Because you're fired.
So it was economic development guys, and they think of, let's build a cluster. Let's bring people together and build this cluster for it to survive. Right. And we all got together and said, cluster,
what?
Right. I'm a military guy, and it's usually followed by a bad word. And we went, cluster doesn't bring a lot of good things to mind.
Right.
So we quickly changed it to coalition.
Okay.
And it became the Southern Nevada Medical Industry Coalition. We operated as that until about 2011. And then we did a rebrand.
Right.
And we rebranded as Las Vegas HEALS.
Okay. So you were needed then because... there was a lack of PR, quite frankly. But also, what was your responsibility back then to try to drive better people here, better doctors, better facilities?
Well, the goal was, how do we attract big companies, great companies, Faraday? How do you get a group like that to say, hey, let's move to Las Vegas. Let's bring 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 people to work there.
But what does that have to do with the medical world?
Well, if you don't have good medical care, then you can't attract the good people.
So you're saying, I see, I got you. Okay, fine.
Yep. Right. Yeah. So it's a great executive's not going to go, hey, let me move me, my family, my executives and their family to a city that's got shitty healthcare.
Yeah.
So we had to fix that. And so we started, we brought a bunch of people to the table and we said, how do we do this? There was 12 of us and we kicked the can around the table and we said, well, we probably ought to build what we called the three-legged stool. One arm should focus on strategic alliances, getting people to know one another, kind of like the matchmaking.com of healthcare.
Right.
The second one was, well, we're going to need to get some stuff done. Let's create a legislative task force to help affect and change policy and regulation at the state level. And then the third one focused around workforce, because we looked at our quality challenges and we can't deny the fact that we've had quality challenges.
Yep.
And we said, what's causing bad healthcare? And what it was bad access. Mm. And you go, well, how do you fix access and what's causing bad access? And it was, well, people go to seek out healthcare and there's waiting lists, there's lines, you can't get to it. And that's because we don't have enough practitioners.
Mm.
So we went, well, we got to fix that. How do you fix workforce?
Now, interesting about your background, and no one will know this who just introduced yourself or yourself to them just now, but your background is recruiting.
Yeah, I'm a workforce guy.
And so you did a lot of recruiting in the nursing world.
Yep.
So did you bring that to the table?
That's why they brought me in. They said, hey, Doug, we need to assemble all of these healthcare people to the table. And they need to come around a common thing called, you know, how do we build the workforce? You get that. You understand that. So, funny story. The first meeting that we had with the workforce group, we all sat around the table and it was a lot of crossed arms staring across the table going, you stole my director of med surge. And yeah, well, you took my entire cardio team. And it was war.
Yeah.
And we had to go, children, play friendly in the sandbox.
Right.
We're not competitors. We are day to day, but from a workforce standpoint, our competitors are Phoenix, Houston, Florida, South Carolina, places that people want to move to.
Yeah.
So let's focus on them being the competitors. And it took a little bit of time. It took about 18 months.
So you, when you said legislature, mm-hmm. how timely given what's happening today.
Yes.
Can you say that you've really had an effect on a government level?
Absolutely.
Well, like, for example, what does that mean?
So let's go back to 2002. We said, okay, well, we need more practitioners. We have the lowest nurse to population ratio in the country. How do we fix that?
But isn't that a recruiting issue?
It is, but it's more. You need to have an educational infrastructure to grow these people. Mm. So we went, okay, what do we need? Well, we need 800 nurses a year. Our educational infrastructure, our nursing schools are giving us 332.
Yeah, when you say nursing schools, you mean in Nevada?
In Nevada.
Okay, right.
And back then, it was we had, I believe, 6 nursing schools. And there was a little law that was out there that said no private nursing schools can operate in Nevada.
Hmm.
So we had to change that law.
So they were all like with UNLV or?
State-run schools, UNLV, CSN. Nevada State College did not even exist back then.
Hmm.
So we lobbied to allow private schools to open up, the likes of Touro University, Roseman University.
Which we'll get to in a second.
Yeah. So we had to change that law. And then the next thing was we needed to double the number of nurses graduating from the program. And that was controlled at a state budgetary standpoint. So we were graduating 332 nurses. We needed 800.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like a lot. 300. I mean, I don't know.
But it's horrible. Well, we're a small state, though.
How many nurses work today in the Las Vegas Valley?
Oh, good God. Great question. I don't have an answer for you.
Guess?
1,000? 8,000, 10,000, 12,000.
Holy shit.
Yeah. It's
really?
I think in the state of Nevada, there. I want to say it's 15,000, 20,000. Licensed
really?
Nurses, yeah. It's a
holy crap.
Well, think about it. You go into a hospital, you're more likely to see a nurse than a doctor.
Yeah, right.
So
and
there's
is that the so you said 20,000? So is it a 10-to-1? You know, 2 million people. Is that how it works?
You're gonna make me look dumb. I don't know.
I'm just trying to figure out how they decide that number. So you felt like you in the beginning you were doing good work. You're making things happen.
Yep. Yep.
And now you're here today. Why is Las Vegas Hills still important?
So healthcare is complex. Problems of yesterday are different than problems of today, and they're going to be different problems from tomorrow. So we continuously gauge our industry and go, what do we need to be working on next? We put together these task forces, these councils, these committees to address that. We tackle it fiercely. We get shit done. And then we figure out what the next problem is. And as soon as you think, I kind of look at healthcare, imagine a styrofoam cup with a crap load of holes poked in it.
Right.
Water pouring through it, and you're sticking your fingers in there trying to stop it.
Right.
As soon as you do, another hole opens up.
Right.
It's that complex. So, okay. You know, this year we're focusing on reimbursements. So how do you get these docs paid what they should be getting paid? Because in Nevada, we've got this weird thing. We charge our employers more than most other states for healthcare. So we pay high premiums.
Why is that?
Because of quality. Our quality challenges have plagued us, pay more.
So the insurance companies are like, you guys aren't, you, as a practice, you're not very good, so we're going to charge you more. Wait.
They charge the employers
more. So they charge the, oh.
But then at the bottom of the barrel, where they've got it, they're paying the practitioners, the guys actually doing the work.
Right.
They get paid some of the least amounts in the country.
So their biggest margin is here then, if that's true.
It's just, there's a lot of money going in up here and very little coming down here to pay the guys. And you go, well, what's going on in the middle?
Margin.
Yeah, where is that middle?
Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. So one of the things that I hear from you guys a lot, and we've interviewed people on your show and elsewhere that really drove this home, is this concept of the three medical schools in Las Vegas. So why, I'm a local.
Yep.
The hell do I care if there are a bunch of fucking green doctors running around going, yeah, is that still the elbow? Is that the old, why do I care about that?
Green doctors turn into seasoned doctors in a period of time.
Well, I know that.
Academic medicine changes that. Really, you know what it does? And this is probably the single largest thing that it does. It creates questions.
What do you mean?
Students going, well, doctor, why do you do that? That doctor's never been asked that before in the past.
Sure. But
the doctor would typically look and go, nurse, shut up and listen to me.
But so why do I care? So there are the three schools that are here are UNLV, and then Roseman.
Roseman University and Touro.
Touro. And one of those was the nursing school, or which one didn't Roseman or Touro do nursing as well?
So they all do nursing as well. Yeah.
Okay. So they had nursing, and now they're all moving into... Yep.
Roseman University, a lot of people don't realize, they started out as a pharmacy school.
Oh, okay.
It was the University of Southern Nevada back in the early days, and all they did was produce pharmacists.
So first of all, let me ask you, these three schools... They're all coming online about the same time.
So Toro's been producing docs for, it's got to be 10 years now. They're DOs, Doctors of Osteopathic Medicine. Yep.
What is that?
What's what? A DO?
Yeah.
So there's two different types of docs.
Is that an MD?
You got a DO and you got an MD.
All right, so DO's different.
DO's different. They look at the whole body.
Yeah.
They look at it a little bit different than the MD. The medical doctor, they're starting to converge a little bit. So they're starting to bring together their graduate medical education programs. I don't want to get into
that. I'm going to piss somebody off, but is that like a chiropractor, a DO?
No. Much different. So a lot of people don't realize Touro graduates more doctors than University of Nevada School of Medicine, which is the only school
in
of
Reno.
Medicine. Yeah. Well, they've been operating down south as well.
Oh, is that right?
So their third year students would come down here and do clinical rotations.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so they've been the medical school in town, but they actually produce less doctors than Touro.
DOs.
Yes, sir.
As opposed to MDs.
Yep.
Okay, so the difference between a DO and an MD besides one letter is what?
Osteopathic compared to medical. So
it's a huge difference because it's a big deal.
There is. So the DOs approach things a little bit different, more like a chiropractor would, looking at the whole body going, what is causing this?
Where would I see a DO?
Anywhere that you'd see an MD. But, they practice in the same settings.
Right. What can a DO not do that an MD can do?
Nothing.
So why would I be a DO versus an MD?
Great question. And it's all a matter of how you approach medicine.
Okay, I approach it where I want to get paid a lot.
And I don't think one gets paid more or less than the other. I think, if you talk to the physician community, the MDs think that they're on a higher pedestal than
naturally.
The DOs.
Same length of education?
No, some will argue a little bit different. So, but at the end of the day, it's about the same, yes.
Okay, so why then was it so important for Vegas to bring in three schools all about the same time.
Yeah.
That seems unusual.
It's very unique. Yeah.
Why if you guys were having DOs here, why didn't UNLV just say, we'll start this DO thing?
Well,
as opposed to the MD thing.
Typically in a university setting, it's an MD program. And so the difference between a Roseman and a UNLV, Roseman's a private school.
Yep.
UNLV is a public school.
Yeah.
Public schools typically trend towards an MD program.
Okay.
So we're blessed that they're all coming here, and we're going to all of a sudden have this huge shift to...
Why did that shift happen? Why is that happening now? Is that a legislative thing? Did the government of Nevada have anything to do with making this happen for these three schools?
Yes.
And how?
So during the last Great Recession, the governor hired a group called the Brookings Institute and the Brookings SRI study.
Yeah.
And they identified these sectors where growth was going to happen. And one of those sectors was healthcare.
Yeah.
And so they looked at healthcare and they said, wow, let's take a look at how many healthcare jobs we should have in town, how many healthcare jobs we do have in town, and what's it going to take to fill that gap? And really what it came down to is you look at the number of practitioners per population at the state level, what the national is, and they added it up and they said, wow, we can have an 80,000 job creation in healthcare.
That'd be
good. If we just brought Nevada up to the national standards, the national average. And for the first time in the history of Nevada, I've been here 23 years, I watched healthcare and the whole system move in that direction. Awesome. Problem is, without a doctor at the top of that food chain, these other jobs, these nursing jobs, physical therapy, PT, OT, speech, they don't exist.
Right.
Unless you have a doctor at the top.
Mm-hmm.
So then all of a sudden everybody had that aha moment. Oh, shit. We got to produce doctors.
But so explain to people why it's important for those doctors to be down here when they do their training and residency. Why again, that was the first question
I asked. Well, Reno needed our population.
What do you mean?
So you have to have a population to treat.
Yeah.
And the Reno population was not that large.
Okay, but so that makes sense. I get that. Yeah. But why does the regular person who lives in Las Vegas,
yep,
why do we care two shits about whether or not there's a bunch of doctors being trained here?
Because in 10 years you're going to be old.
Yes.
And you're going to...
Thank you for saying in 10 years.
Present yourself at a hospital or present yourself at a clinic, and you're going to go, I want to see a doctor.
Yeah, but why do I care if they've been trained here?
Well, so great question. So there's two different pieces to it. You've got medical schools.
Right.
And then you've got what's called graduate medical education.
Right.
Medical schools produce and put out doctors.
Right.
When they're done, they
leave.
They can.
Yeah.
They can. But they go on to what's called a residency.
Right.
And that's kind of like the on-the-job training program.
Sure.
They go and they hang out with a doctor that's trained and they get brought up to speed.
Yep.
In Nevada, well, in particular, in Las Vegas, we only had three hospitals that had graduate medical education programs, had residents running around.
Okay.
Not a lot.
Right.
67% of new graduate doctors will stay where they do the residency.
Oh, so that's the key right there.
Oh, huge key.
That's the play.
That's the biggest one. That is the biggest one. So
two-thirds of the people who are going to school hang out where they go to school at.
That's
right.
Well,
that's the
play. It's not school. It's where they do their residency. A little bit different.
Okay.
And when we started that conversation, gosh, this was back in 2012, a lot of the community came together and they kind of went, well, it's just Las Vegas. It's just Nevada. We're stuck. We only have three programs. It is what it is. Accept it for what it is. And it sucks.
Yeah.
And our group, Las Vegas Heels, kind of went, well, why? We don't understand. Why can't we change that? And everybody said, well, it's just the way that it is. It's precedent.
Right.
You can't change that.
Right.
And a couple of us went, well, hold on. We've got 15 acute care hospitals. We've got three programs. If my math serves me right, that's 12 programs that we could develop. Show me another city in the country that has the opportunity to create 12 programs.
Right.
Doesn't exist. Why don't we do that? So we brought a bunch of people together and we said, how do we create all these new programs? And then the conversation started and led to a task force, led to a bunch of people getting together going, right. Well, that's an investment. We don't have money to put up. Said, well, Governor, if this makes sense.
This is a legislative.
Oh, absolutely. Thing. Without the governor's involvement, the expansion of graduate medical education would not have happened.
And what percentage, I don't know if you know this or not, but of the people who go to school and they do the GME, mm-hmm. what percentage of those people stay?
67%.
Oh, they stay yep. after they go through that part.
That's right. Yep. Because when they're going through residency, they find their wife, they buy a house, right. and they go, wow, what a great city. Okay. Right. So we looked at it and we went, well, let's grow residency. And when you start growing residency programs, all of a sudden, academia goes, well, hold on. If we have that, why don't we produce more doctors to put into these new residency programs?
Right.
And that's what led to the announcement of a UNLV med school going, hey, we could build this great program. We've got this residency expansion that's going on. It makes sense. So now all of a sudden you've got people coming through K to 12, going to college, going from college to med school to residency, residency into specialty programs. And down the road, you'll start seeing the development of fellowship training. So getting into specialty training.
Like advanced, okay.
Yeah, orthopedics, bariatrics, oncology, what have you. So doctors go on to get board certified fellowship trained. But that doesn't happen in most cities unless you've got an academic medical center, unless you have academic medicine.
Right.
And we didn't have that because people want to be around others that want to continuously grow their career.
So it's from 3 hospitals to how many now?
By the end of the year, we expect it to be 12, 13 hospitals.
Oh, okay. And how many doctors will be birthed every year?
Great question.
First of all, they're not all ready to go yet.
No. So we won't see product come out of this GME pipeline for another 3 years. We'll see some of the first ones.
Wow.
The whole system that we've been working on won't start really flowing until about 2023.
Oh, no kidding.
So it takes time. Yeah. Wow. So let's take a look at Mountain View. They launched a new program. I don't know what the exact number of residents that they have running through the hallways now, but I think it's 50, 60, somewhere in that area.
Yep.
From what I understand, they have built the infrastructure to grow that program to possibly as high as 375 residents, which is gigantic.
That sounds like a lot.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Great for Las Vegas.
Yeah.
So the goal is each year grow that program. So the way that this GME thing works is you're taking down money from the federal government. So it's coming in from CMS. And they pay you, Center for Medicaid Services, Medicare Services. So they pay for you to train doctors, and they'll pay, it's about 50% of wages. So now the hospital has, and I don't want to call it a subsidy, they've got money coming in to train.
Right.
And the way that it works, when you create a new GME program, you've got 5 years to grow your program, and CMS comes in, they cap the program. So they go, along the 5 years, your highest number of residents is going to be your cap, and then you're done. That's what will continue funding moving forward. So the strategy is grow the program as fast and as big as you can, because that creates a sustainable funding stream coming in from the federal government to grow more doctors.
Got it. Okay. Now I'm going to give you a chance to take on the joke. Ready?
Yep.
So the joke basically says, you got to get out of town because this is a bad place to be. I want you now to tell me where, all I want to know right now is world class.
Yep.
I mean, like my mom got sick with cancer. Yep. You know, the first thing we did, we got the fuck out of town.
Yep.
We went over to the Mayo Clinic in Arizona.
Yep.
And funny thing,
once you came back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I want you to tell me, what are the areas of medical excellence that are happening in Las Vegas today? You know, give me the categories and the places.
So it's pretty simple. So we've got I'll tell you this. We probably have the finest trauma teams in the entire world. So that's that emergency medicine. When people do dumb shit on the strip.
Right.
And they present
UMC,
at the ER.
Like UMC, for example.
Oh, yeah,
supposed
absolutely.
To be great.
One of the finest programs in the world. So, but when you get into centers of excellence where people would travel here for care, where you know you could get exceptional care, brain health, obviously the Cleveland Clinic has totally upped the game.
Yep.
They are world known for delivering amazing care in Alzheimer's, ALS, Parkinson's, what have you. Cancer treatment.
Yeah.
So we've got comprehensive cancer treatment centers of Nevada. They can compete against any cancer treatment center out there.
And that's where my mom was referred to.
And, you know, a lot of people have heard this so many times. Well, I'm going to go get a second opinion. I don't trust healthcare in Nevada. And they'll go to an MD Anderson. They'll go to a Mayo Clinic. MD
Anderson has a huge advertising playboy.
Sure. Oof. Sure. Oof. And what they do is they go there and they lay out the regimen, the protocols of what they're being put through. Doctor in MD Anderson or Mayo looks at it and they go, we would do the same thing.
Mm. Interesting.
So we've got quality care here. Now, that has not always been the case. I would say the tipping point of that was probably the early 2000s. And I'll tell you what caused that. And this was another legislative initiative. Medical malpractice was running rampant. These crazy trial lawyers suing for stupid shit. Burned your tongue at McDonald's. That's worth $7 million. Right. Let's sue. Yeah. Nevada didn't have a cap. So the trial lawyers were just having a heyday.
Yeah.
So the medical community got together and said, we've got to create a cap on this. So they worked with Governor Kenny Gwynn at the time, and they put in a cap of $350,000 as the maximum amount for a medical malpractice initiative. That puts the attorneys at bay because there's not enough money in there for them. What that did is that all of a sudden exposed it to the rest of the country where practitioners would go, hold on, so here you've got this community. They're growing. They've got a huge population. They don't have enough doctors out there. They're lacking levels of quality, and they're going to protect me a little bit.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm moving to Nevada.
Interesting.
And so we got a whole new cadre of doctors coming in.
And that's an opposite thought than the way the civilian thinks.
Sure.
Because the civilian thinks, go fuck yourself. You're a bad doctor.
Yep.
But good doctors don't come if they think they're going to be exposed, is what you're arguing here.
They came here because there was a level of protection. No doctor wants to go, hey, I've busted my ass and I've gone to school and I've got 30 years invested in my medical education career, developing my skill set.
Right.
And to go into a city, get attacked by a bunch of attorneys,
right,
and all of a sudden have a lawsuit come against me and lose my wealth. Thank you. No. Right.
So, okay. So high level, brain.
Yep.
Cancer,
orthopedics. We're delivering some great stuff. Here's the one that a lot of people don't know.
Medical tourism, which you don't have that name, but
I hate that name.
But that's a name. It's a thing.
People travel for healthcare.
Yeah.
They don't go on a tourist trip for healthcare.
But that happens a lot.
In
Vegas.
So here's a couple other areas. Bariatrics.
Oh, huge here.
Gigantic.
And this is world class here.
Oh yeah, we have some of the best practitioners in the world delivering that care right here in Las Vegas.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
And then here's the one that everybody knows but doesn't is...
plastic surgery.
Hey, there you go.
Thank you.
Because we keep... we keep our population, our workforce looking really, really good.
That's what we have to do.
And the other part that a lot of people don't realize is, so California botches a lot of things, okay? What?
That sounds, that's, there's no possible way.
And then on top of that, no, these Beverly Hills housewives don't want their friends knowing that they're getting work done.
What?
So they want to get out of Beverly Hills and they want to go somewhere that protects their anonymity. Oh. And what place protects anonymity?
Really happening a lot.
Better than Vegas.
That's fascinating.
Hey, I'm going to go to Vegas. I'm going to hang out for a few weeks. And they come back and all of a sudden their friends go, wow, you look amazing. Oh, Vegas was good to you, wasn't it?
All right. Before we take our first break or go to our next segment, Inside Medicine.
Yes, sir.
Tell me about Inside Medicine. This is a show on the Vegas Video Network. And Doug, by the way, I'm going to tell you a little story about Inside Medicine.
Oh, shit.
And we'll wrap. Okay, so Doug is a Vegas Video Network, or the Las Vegas Hills is a Vegas Video Co-op member. And we've done a lot of neat stuff with him, blah, blah, blah. And we got to talking and we're like, yeah, you know, maybe you should do a show on the network. And I'm like, well, all right, let's pump the brakes just a hair here. We'll put you in here. We'll shoot a couple. We'll just see if you can, you know, because this is hard work. It's very, you have to be very talented to do this work. So Doug gets that, you know, in the studio, and I forget who you're. It was, I think it might have been, was it the, well, I forget who it was, but it was a kind of a big deal guy, and he gets in there and he does it for a show, and I'm like, okay, well, your training's over. My work's here done. So Inside Medicine, tell us a little bit about Inside Medicine.
So it's just a program
Just a program.
Just a program. No, the goal is to bring experts people that are doing amazing stuff in Las Vegas into the studio to tell their story.
I love it.
There's a lot of cool stuff going on in Vegas, and a lot of people don't know about it because, I'll be frank, our media outlets have not been very kind to us.
Yeah.
So we said, let's start telling the real story, and let's bring people in and talk about the good stuff that is going on. Let's pump that out there and help start correcting the perception of healthcare in Vegas. We've had a horrible reputation, and it's not true. We don't need to go to McCarran for care.
Right.
But people don't know that. So how do you change that? So we started bringing these people in. We brought in the deans of all the med schools. We brought in innovators to the likes of Dr. Banati that's moving into town. We brought in Dr. Samir Kamar that's doing some pretty cool stuff with telemedicine.
Oh, and hugely cool.
Yeah. So, we, you know, let's bring these people in. Let's tell the story. And then let's share that story. And now all of a sudden people see what's going on in Vegas and they want to be part of that.
Cool. All right. Doug?
Scott?
You. Now you're going to be... You're a guest. Nice job. Co-host.
Ooh.
Now you better put on your seatbelt.
So now I can really start drinking.
You can drink, and you got to deal with these crazy people in the live chat. All right, we're going to take a quick break. This is the Living in Las Vegas podcast, and you know what? It's time for listener email. This is an example of Doug not actually watching the video, what was going on there, because he just thought I was saying Doug. Actually, there's a part of the video where the co-host is named, and...
Huh?
Oh, I didn't want that. Get the fuck up. Oh, that was a little tease from what we're going to be doing a little bit later. That's fantastic. Oh, I know what I did. Okay.
Who's running this show?
Hard to say. Usually, I don't have to do all... It doesn't matter. Okay, listener email. I'm going to read the guys, and Doug is going to read the women... Our first email is from Darlene. Here's a little backstory about Darlene. My ex-wife's name was?
Darlene.
Yep.
And wife 1.0.
Yep. And her husband's name is? Scott. Yeah, it's nightmarish in every possible way. And I believe Darlene is in the live chat right now. Darlene writes.
Oh, good God. You want me to read all of this?
Let's see what you're made of.
Whew. Test my education level.
Right.
I just stayed at the Trop this weekend while my friends stayed at the Excalibur. You can imagine my joy at discovering the overpass between the two properties was closed. Of course, the other linking overpasses from MGM to New York, New York, and New York, New York to the Excalibur have all the escalators closed. No one was working on the escalators. Any idea when the scheduled repairs are to be completed, Scott?
Let's continue.
Felt guilty using the elevator, but after 3 stair climbs, I said, screw it. I was in town for a bingo tournament. Interestingly enough, the lady that won the top $10,000 prize was in town for... Prize? See, I failed the test.
Oh, that's okay. Sometimes these people don't write as well as you'd hope.
$10,000 prize also won the top $25,000 prize at another property's tournament the same day.
What? That's horrible.
Am I bitter?
Yes. No.
Bitter?
Oops. Gunshot.
Sounds bitter.
Feels bitter.
Tomahawk
says
no.
Well, Tomahawk says no.
Only because I won all of my losses back on the last night of the trip at the Golden Nugget on the slots when I hit a small jackpot.
Okay.
You want to know, Darlene, now, don't you?
No, not really. Not because I think she's actually a sweet girl. She actually wrote back, woman, gal. I don't know what the world is. She wrote me and she says, oh, here's some fascinating news, Scott. Yes, Darlene. I get a twitch whenever I say that. I'm not proud of it. It's just what happened. That's why I take Xanax. Fuck, what do you want from me? She's like, oh, you know what? This is funny. My husband's name is Scott. It's not funny. It's not funny. All right. Let's talk about the walkover escalator elevators. First of all, good thing that you weren't here this weekend because there was a gunshot little thing going there. Here's what happened. A guy did this, and it didn't hit one, but 2 people. He's a goddamn professional. And about the elevators, I don't even know who runs those. Let's say it's the city. I don't know. Here's a tip from your brother Scott. Stay off of them. You know what? We're all a little overweight. Don't take the walkovers. Walk across the street. Now, sometimes you got to dodge a little bit of the people driving on the strip, and those people aren't very good. but not very fast. So just go buy it. Don't go on that overpass because it is literally the wild, wild west. Okay, let's continue. And thanks for reminding me of my ex-wife's name. Fuck. Here we go. This is from Dan. Dan writes, hey, I love the car purchase story. One thing, the Kia Sorento and the Hyundai Tuscan are essentially the same car. Two companies, sister companies. I drive the Sorento, and my wife just traded her 2004 Kia Spectra with a new Sportage. From your friend Dan, VP and general manager of Kia, apparently. What am I going to do with this? Okay, thanks for correcting us. We did a story about the horrors of buying a car. Right, oh, we should talk about your car. Doug had arguably the most iconic car in Las Vegas.
Also obnoxious.
Well, I wouldn't call it obnoxious. A lot of people did, but I didn't. Now, just really quickly, describe the old car that you had to let go.
It was a good Steeler-mobile. Born and raised in Pittsburgh. Yeah. You kind of lay it out.
Did you drive it from Pittsburgh to here?
No. Oh, but I bought it here.
Oh, my God. You just lied before you even started.
Oh, God. What was it? Scott.
Describe the car.
It was a yellow Hummer H2, obnoxious as can be.
Yeah, not yellow like this yellow. Yellow like...
Oh, it was canary yellow. Christ, yeah. Yellow. Yeah. And so when I first bought the car, I'm like, oh, I'm from Pittsburgh. I got this yellow rig. I wonder if I could find a Pittsburgh-related license plate. Huh. And I went online and I typed in Steeler to start, and all of a sudden it was available.
Boom!
I went, holy shit, I'll take it. And then all of a sudden all my friends' family went, oh, wow, let me send you something. So stickers and steering wheel covers and...
See, you're an entrepreneur. And I thought you owned a piece of a sticker company.
I wish I did.
Right, because your car was covered in stickers.
I looked like a goddamn Steeler commercial.
What was fascinating is you had that car for how long?
10 years.
Many of
180,000 miles.
Many of us, not us, many people said, it's probably not the car for you to drive. And you're like, I'm going to drive it. And
it's
then
my rig.
People started throwing shit at you.
Yeah, I got two windows broken in a month.
That's bad.
Yeah, that was a sign.
And you had to go.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Speaking of email.
Uh-oh.
No. This is from who's Jason. Jason said, hey, what's wrong with using Juno going strong since 1996? Love the show. Keep up the good work. Jason, let me just ask you a question real fast. This is in regards to, we made fun of some people with older email addresses, you know, AOL, you know, that
AOL,
kind of stuff.
They're still around?
Yeah. And when I see somebody with Juno, I have to ask you, hey, Jason, are you the old uncle with the, you know, you were the first guys in the intranet? You're like, yeah, no, I'm Juno 125. Jason 12, oh, wait, hold on. It's Jason 98 at Juno. I just shared his email with everybody. So when you email Uncle Jason, ask him to, I don't know, step up and maybe check out the Gmail or something like that. All right. I've had enough of you people. Let's do real quick stories. First of all, congratulations again to Rosie, who gave her life for our show.
So Rosie's not...
Did you just see her? She was killed by a bunch of... Apparently you didn't see it. Let me just show you real again. This is Rosie.
With the zombie apocalypse?
Look at her. She died. Now, the thing about Rosie that scares the hell out of me is if you get... Look at this. Right there. The last time I had a... I was... Look at that. She's having a good time right there.
She's smiling.
Yeah. That scares me. I've been alone with Rosie in my studio. And look at her. She's like, yeah, no, I'm okay with the whole... Blindfoldy, Rosie.
It is Vegas and bondage and S&M.
Hold on now. Hold on now. You look at Rosie. She's a sweet kid. She means well. She's a good. You know. She knows Wayne Newton. Wayne Newton would not be okay with that kind of behavior. So, we're gonna miss Rosie because apparently she's been taken by the apocalypse. If you want to send in a video like that, you don't have to. die for the video. Just send a video and just say, hey, this is Rosie in Chicago, and you're watching the Living in Las Vegas podcast on the Vegas Video Network. Don't actually use the two words I just used there. Use your real name and your real location. We've had a couple people sending stuff that actually said the words I said. It's not what I'm looking for, but God bless your little heart. Hey, this is the election season. I'm just saying, I'm a bad man. So here's what's
You're
happening.
You're a bad hombre.
Yeah, I'm a bad. Oh, perfect. That's fantastic. Isn't that fantastic? I'm watching the live chat. I've never seen so many panicked people in a live chat as I've seen right now. We are all scared to death. And that's all I'm going to say. All I'm going to say is this. If you vote for the lesser of two evils, yeah, you still voted for evil.
You're a bad hombre.
I'm just not going to vote for evil anymore. I've had enough. Okay, speaking of evil and pumpkin heads. Oh, where's my pumpkin head picture? There it is. Okay. So last night, I'm... So Vegas, my God, Vegas is a 2 million number city thing.
We're, 2.2.
We're 2.5, 2.75. We're a 5 billion... We're a lot of people here. I think we're the 13th largest market in the country. Ish. Arguably, actually, you know what? I think that's bullshit because there are more people who come here than anywhere else. So more people see our broadcasters than any other city in the world. I think that's true.
42 million.
I'm sticking with that. So 42 million plus two, we are as big as
shit. We're like
China.
A country. Yeah.
We're China. We're China big. All right. So here, so I've always said that, you know, There's a professionalism problem here in Las Vegas. By the way, I want you to take a look at this guy. He is not the issue that I have. He's one of the few guys I'm like, well, this fucker gets it. Fantastic. Well, thank God. There is a God in Vegas. All right. But here's... So last night, I'm hanging out going, oh, pretty soon I'm going to do a little morphine drip because for 4 years, something's not going to be great. And this guy comes on. So I called him Pumpkinhead. Guess what? Apparently, it's really hard to match your face makeup with your neck. You see
I
that?
I just caught that.
That's
yeah.
crazy, right?
Yeah. Looks like he had a choker on.
Yeah. Uh-oh. Doug has some insight that we didn't know Doug had. Yeah. So I forget this guy's name, but maybe, you know, his master... I got a little rough with them, but my God, this is on broadcast. This is on the NBC channel. This crazy bastard gets on there. I'm like, God, you know what?
What's funny is he's got tan like right above the tie. Look at that. So there's like a stripe that
God,
runs around.
You're right. What is happening with this? Oh, he wears an ascot as a practice. Oh my God. Yeah. That's no wonder we're so proud of the great people that Jesus Christ. I can't believe this. All right. Next thing I'm going to tell you guys is this. If you're a local or if you are a tourist who hangs out here a lot, I've said it before. I'm going to say it again. You guys have got to go, if you have the time, to the Composer Showcase. This is a special, special thing for folks. So, you know, we go on the Strip and we see all these entertainers and you're like, yeah, he's a good Elvis or he's a good whatever the hell he is. Probably doesn't do anything on his own. Guess what? They do things on their own. And this is a fantastic opportunity to watch the entertainers in Las Vegas do their own thing. So I was there last week, last Wednesday, and brought in my on-site multi-shot thing that we're doing for folks now. And I'm going to show you just, we did a bunch of guys, but this is the guy who is Carl Perkins in Million Dollar Quartet. So this is the original tune. Guess what? I couldn't get this goddamn song out of my head for, let's call it a week. It's fantastic. Go. This is what's fantastic about this. So you've got Keith Thompson is the guy who actually runs this whole thing. He was the guy who, the musical director of Jersey Boys. arguably some of the greatest bossa nova stuff I've ever seen before. I mean, it was just fantastic. I'm just gonna let you dig this for a while, man. This is our multi-shot capability, by the way. We're offering that for
a little commercial.
Yeah. It's pretty cool, right? Oh, stop that! No! Oh, you know what? I'm tired of that bullshit.
Damn, who's running this show?
Let's call it you. Why is that doing that? I don't want that on. Take. All right. Scott. Oh, that's funny. Why is that on? Hold on. Hello? There we are. Good thing you don't have to be smart to run your own company. Anyways, go see the Composer Showcase. It's fantastic. These are good people, and they mean well. All right, how are we doing on time? Oh, we're doing fantastic. Chat questions real quick. This comes from last week because I missed them last week, and I suck. Jimmy wants to know, is there any plans to fix up Fremont Street from downtown to Charleston? Doug?
Sure. It's called Project Neon.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Or okay. Coronado.
Okay, that's...
Coronado.
Wow. That was really good. That was really good. It was a lie, but it sounded like, you know, look, here's the deal. Yeah, of course they want to do it. They wanted to do it with, you know, the good fellows over at the Sappos. Yeah, so here's the deal. We all want all of that to be good. But let's not try to, you know, we have to eat the elephant one spoon at a time. And right now, the spoon is on Fremont Street, Fremont East, and right around there. You come on down to the Charleston, right at Charleston and Main Street. That's, you know, the Arts District. There's some pretty cool stuff going around there. Now, hey, would I walk around there at night on a Tuesday? Maybe not. Unless I'm trying to jog. Or I'm in a hurry. Or I've got a car. But otherwise... Listen, we're doing the best we can. Right now, we're just focused on healthcare.
Hey, now.
Right?
Good place to start.
Right?
Yeah.
You know why?
Good.
Because if you're downtown, you get shot. You want to go to UMC, which is just down the street,
great
by the
trauma.
Way. It's great really,
trauma.
It's arguably live. One of the best. Jimmy wants to know, hey, is Lake Las Vegas closed? Oh, Jimmy. Jimmy. No, it's not closed. It just feels that way. Here's what's happening at Lake Las Vegas. Arguably one of the coolest things that has ever happened in Las Vegas when it first happened. Man, it was sexy as hell. We first moved here in 2005. I'm like, wow, this Lake Las Vegas thing. I'm moving there. And you know what they had? No infrastructure. Yeah. Hey, you know what? I just want to go to the grocery store. How long does that take? I don't know, 30, 35 minutes. That seems long. That seems too long. And so a lot of things didn't work out well. And then, you know, grass died and golf courses went away. Okay. So it was bad. And then a whole area just died and retails and casinos died. It was really pretty unpleasant. And guess what? The Phoenix has risen. Right? Have you been there?
But I heard the golf course closed again.
But there's more than one golf course. One yes. is alive.
Reflection Bay, I
Look
heard.
Look at you using See? Words.
Ooh, I know. No, I heard one went under again. They opened it up. It was
just
an
recently?
Arnold Palmer golf course.
Wait. Just recently?
In the last couple months. That's what I heard. I could be wrong.
Shit.
I could be wrong.
Really?
Yeah.
Inside scoop.
I love Lake Las Vegas.
It's
love
fantastic.
The village there. I think it's a cool place, but it's a hike.
It's a drive.
Yeah.
So here's the bad thing about it. It's a drive. Here's the good thing about it. It's a drive if you want to show off a little bit. Hey, I'm going to take it to this pretty cool place. It's like,
yeah.
So when it first opened, which is back in, I don't know, 2006 or whatever, we were like, this is pretty cool. It had casinos.
Which are closed now.
Yeah, yeah. By the way, thank you, Mr. Happy. So the casino, I mean, they had casinos there. It was really a sexy, groovy thing. Live music, water, lakey things, boaty type of thing. I mean, you're like, wow, this is fucking cool. And guess what? It died a horrible death. It was unbelievably bad. People got raped. You know, people who bought houses out there, horrible. Remember when I in previous shows, I said, For a while here in Las Vegas, you could buy houses on 50 cents on the dollar. The house I'm in right now is, I didn't buy this house for the same price it was at its peak. And I'm in the middle of Las Vegas, basically, in Lake Las Vegas. Do you hear that sound? Hold on, I just got to figure out what sound I should do. Yeah, that's one of them. That sound, every time you drive into Lake Las Vegas, you hear this sound because that's the sound of your money falling off the edge. It's brutal, just fucking brutal up there. But things seem to be getting a little bit better. Now, all the restaurants and little shops and all that, let's go with good. The housing market there is absolutely recovering. You know, Celine Dion just called me and said, oh, the house next door is...
Called you.
Yeah, sure she did. And she's like, you know, the house next door is available. I'm like, well, that's not your closet. Didn't you buy a house just for your clothes? She goes, yeah, but I'm trying to cut back. Fair enough. I'll talk to my realtor. That may not have happened. But it's getting a little bit better. We were up there... No, we weren't. We weren't up. Look, here's what I want. We were talking to somebody who was. Oh, we were at a retirement party for somebody who lived up there, and she's like, oh, this is fascinating. She's like, you know what? It's getting better. And so I gave her you guys don't have shopping. You guys don't have shit if you can't buy a fucking burger.
They opened up a grocery store.
Yeah,
in the village.
But it's not a real grocery store.
That's like a 7-Eleven.
She's like, hold on. We have a grocery store. No, I voted. Oh, we have a grocery store. I'm like, okay, great. So you have a Smith's or an Albertsons? No, it's Bill's Grocery Store. Oh, for fuck's sake, that doesn't count. We don't, I want big grocery, not little grocery. So there's still...
Henderson's close.
It's as close as it always was. It's a 30-minute drive to get a burrito. That's not okay. So... I would like it to do well.
It would be nice.
It's pretty.
They've got boats.
Oh, but those water. You know about those boats, don't you?
We won't go there.
Okay, fair
but
enough.
They have boats.
I did a show about this a long time ago where it had so they have a little marina and they have what are those boats called?
Duffy's boats.
And Duffy and
we won't go there.
Doug doesn't know anything about Duffy boats. Fair enough. But I am obsessed with Duffy boats. They're the fucking coolest thing. So, you know, one time I'm like, hey, Melissa. Hey, baby, let's go up to Lake Las Vegas. Have a little bit of fun. It'll be on me. So we head up there and we drive. And then I'm like, okay, here we go. Let's go. Here's the marina. And I see a couple Duffy boats and a big boat. I'm like, I just want. And A, was there anybody actually in the marina?
Probably not.
No. So I had to yell, call him. Somebody showed up. He was the quintessential Huntington Beach surfer guy. What's up, dude? Like, hey, I used to be you, but fuck! I would like you to actually be able to... I like to get a boat. Dude. The chick who actually runs that, she's on the other side of the lake. I'm sorry. What's on the other side of the lake? Oh, we got like a dock there. Is that your main dock? No way, dude. It's just a dock. Fantastic. Can I get one of these boats? Oh, we're trying to figure out. Oh, okay. We're done. And that's what's happened. That's my feeling about Lake Las Vegas. I want it to be okay. I don't know that it will be.
They've got a ways
Doug?
To go. They've got a ways to go. No, it's they had a new investor come in from New York, pumped
what?
A bunch of money into it. If the village comes alive, I think they've got something. But until that
village
comes alive,
is a problem.
Yeah, people want a destination. They want to be able to take their boat and go down and have a nice dinner and have
That's
some nice music. And
right.
If you don't have that,
you're out.
Where are you going to go?
You're toast.
That's it.
So let's raise our glass to the death of. I'm sorry, that was premature.
You're empty.
I
drank it all.
Because you drank all that.
Okay. God damn.
To Lake Las Vegas, Prost. Please, for the love of God, don't fuck up again.
Who's that skinny guy?
Oh, need to take a good look at Doug because it's the last time we're ever going to see him there. He says mean things, and I don't know why he would do that. By the way, the live chat is freaking out because of this election thing. Holy shit.
216 to 202.
Oh, that's okay. Has California called in? Oh, my God. This is fascinating. Okay,
it's
hey.
All
this
over
is,
tomorrow. It's
this like, is have a drink on me. This is the part where we
have two drinks.
We watch the live chat and we go, oh, fuck. Let's drink because it's not going to be good. All right, hey, have a drink on me. It's part of the show where I show you a picture of a bar or a, cause, or a, I don't even care anymore. I'm so freaked out about this election. And you can win stuff. Scott, what can you possibly win? Well, I would ask Doug to tell you what win, but Doug doesn't know.
Huh?
It's not his fault. But we're going to have Pops tell us. Pops, what can
Let
you
me
win?
Tell you what you can win this week.
This okay. week's Lucky Haddam winner can choose any one of three amazing Scott Whitney guitar CDs, Crisp Acoustic 1, Crisp Acoustic 2, or Gajazzathon. Proudly displayed here by Bob, undisputed king of the video Haddam entry. Or you can choose the comfortable and stylish Vegas Video Network visor like these lucky winners. Available in the standard black and sometimes in the rare, hard-to-find red, popular with the ladies and the Russians. Or you can choose the premium prize
the
package.
Russians.
The next time you're going to be in Vegas, you can arrange an evening of sophistication and class.
Good looking man.
With the man himself, yes. The guru of all things Vegas, Scott Whitney.
Yay!
Well, okay, at least drinks, laughs, and some priceless conversation.
Send your entry into Have a Drink at VegasVideoNetwork.com. VegasVideoNetwork.com.
Thank you, Pops. All right. There's several ways to increase the probability of winning. If you are the very first entry, we're going to put you in double the pleasure.
Hoo-ah.
Double the hoo-ah.
Hoo-ah.
Yeah, but you're Army, not Marines.
Same thing.
Really?
Not really.
Yeah. There's a Marine right outside going, I'm going to have to kick his ass because he said that. All right. So double if you're the first entry, double if you're in the live chat and you have an entry. Oh, double if you send in a picture or a video entry for the live chat. We love that kind of stuff. And by the way, there's magical things that happen if you become a part of us. Now, Scott, you're braggadocia. You're kind of Trumpian. Well, fuck you. Don't you ever call me that again. All right. Here's what I'm going to say. If you end up getting one of these. Do you have one of these, Doug?
Ooh, I want one of those.
Would you like one?
Yeah.
What's yours?
Hoo-ah.
You should have one because you're on the goddamn network. If you have one of these, put it on. Let's see what you look like.
All right, we'll do that. So how do I put it on over top of this?
We'll see how that goes. It's see? A little bit small.
A little bit small, but we'll figure it out.
But it fits. Oh, don't work. Don't push it. Don't rush. Oh.
How about that?
Well, now you look kind of a little bit of mafia guy. Okay. If you have one of those and you're a winner, things that are magical happen to you. Really, Scott? What might that be? Well, you become a part of the galaxy of God. There is Michael and Robert and Rosie who were missed. Another Michael and Scott and Binky and Alan and Aaron. They used to be nudists. There's Bob and his wife, Jackie. Oh, I'm sorry, that's Danny and not Jen and Craig and Glenn, Jimmy and Rob. Let's go to Hawaii with Rob and Russia with Stuart and Christina, whose old babies are because of my music. Don and Jackie and Mike. He's a Republican, apparently. And Bob's and Sammy and Carol and a dog and Chris, who's still in my backyard. And he got married and Brett's dad. And your buddy Scott and your buddy Wayne. And of course, our good buddy Brett. Here he is! All right. There it is. Okay. All right. Stop it! Stop talking out loud with the music. Oh, that's beautiful. I don't want that. Here we go. Oh, what's that going on? Come on, you rat bastard. Tricasters can suck me. There it is. Okay. Oh, wait. We got a new one. Hold on. Look at your... Oh, you have your... You don't have it on anymore. All right, never mind. I was going to put you in the Galaxy of Gods. All right. 20 out of 20. Everybody was correct, which means it was a little too easy. Here's last week's Have a Drink on Me. There it is. The hints were Centrifuge Bar at MGM. Centrifuge Bar. Those aren't the real hints. Because... Doug's looking at me like, those were the hints? That seems pretty easy. It's a joke. Those weren't the hints, but that's the place. It's Centrifuge Barge at the MGM. Okay, here we go. Are you ready? Now you have to get ready.
You've been what am I doing? I've got a job. I've got a job? God damn it. I didn't come here to work.
Get ready.
Notepads.
We're going to see if Doug's up to the work. Okay, ready? All right, here we go. Number one, our number one entry, Mike Q.
Mike.
Mike's going to get a triple. One for the correct answer. One, Mike Q for being the first answer. No rush, Doug. Just
got it. Under control, Scott.
Let's go. And one more.
Another one?
He's in the live chat.
Mike Q.
Mike kind of figured it out.
Double down, Vegas style.
Boom. Andy from New Hampshire. God bless Andy. Jimmy 2G's, one for the correct answer. And I believe one for the live chat. Jimmy 2G's.
Jimmy 2G.
There you go. Next up, we've got Monica Fagan, known as Binky. Monica, one for the live chat. One for the correct answer, one for being in the live chat. Monica.
So two?
Yeah, Monica. This one.
Just one.
Yeah.
Got it.
I'll get carried away.
I'm not
good. Glenn Santa from Syracuse, New York. Way to go, Glenn. Gary Romberg. Mr. Testy. Congratulations, Gary. Tammy Mossbrucker. I believe she's a teacher.
Ooh.
I don't even know. Erin Perry from Arizona. She's one of our nudists. Way to go, Erin. Steve Riley Finch. He's a classy man from Oswego, Illinois. Hello, puppy. His wife's name is Buffy.
Ooh.
I'm making that shit up. I don't know. Brent Barnes from Paradise, California. Michael B. from Chicago. Way to go, Michael. Kevin Whipf from Connecticut, known as Canada. And Michael Snow, Chicago Snowman. One for the correct answer. Michael Snow, one for being in the live chat.
There you go.
We continue. Well done. Well played. Barb Shotness. Barb, one for the correct answer. Barb, one for being in the live chat. She's our clarinet player. She's the Living in Las Vegas clarinet player. She's done some fantastic work for us.
All right.
Do you like the clarinet?
I do.
This would be a good time for you to say yes. Who's your favorite clarinet player?
Sure. Barb. Yes. What? See?
Fantastic. Andrew Z from the Canada. Canada loves us.
Why?
Fuck, I have no idea. You know why? Because they're about ready to embrace us.
Yes, yeah, so we're all going to be migrating.
Wave
there.
Going, excuse me, Andrew, it's your buddy Scott. Scotty wants to move in. I said, okay. He'll say, no. Fair enough. Good call. All right, next up, Brian M. Brian writes,
ooh, questions you want me to ask? This week, Haddam is the Octane Lounge
or have a drink
at the Excalibur.
Well done.
Looking forward to catching next week's show from the comfy confines of the stately El Cortez.
Stately El Cortez.
Ooh, big words.
Nice. One for the correct answer, one for being in the live chat. Way to go, Brian. We continue on. If you look carefully right now, my right eye is twitching. Why? The next entry is Darlene. Oh! One for the correct answer. Holy shit, she's in the live chat.
Hold on. Darlene times three. Let me. Do you have more stickies?
No. Do you need more? Fuck. Darlene. That actually kind of freaks me out. Could you just have a new name? Create a new name. Just fucking do it. Mike Beatty. Boom. And we also have Alan Perry. Oh, shit. Hold on. Alan wrote something. Wait, hold on. Fuck. Let me, Mike. I'll read this.
Thank you.
Mike writes, hey, Scott, your this week's Haddam is Octane. Your tribute shooter, Brett, was amazing. I really love how it feels like you guys are all a family. I wish I could be in the live chat. Unfortunately, I work on Tuesdays. Well, somebody has to actually keep the economy going. Way to go, Mikey! Sending prayers and good thoughts to Brett's family. And then Alan wrote...
Gonna make me read more?
Sure.
The Haddam bar.
Well played.
See? For this week is the Octane bar at Excalibur. I don't know about the rest of the listeners, but I, for one, do my best to avoid this property like the plague. Ooh.
That seems harsh.
The theme is too weird for me. It feels like a casino for kids. Hello, Circus Circus. Hmm. I must admit that we did see the Australian Bee Gees there a few years back. What was I thinking?
Right. Well, and...
Australian Bee Gees.
I know what you're thinking.
Why?
No, I do know why. So, Alan is really good at databasing all of our Haddams and then doing them.
Ooh.
So, he'll do 10 Haddams at a sitting. He's got to deal with Uber. Anyways... The reason why you end up at that place is because you're like, you're a 9 Haddams, and you're like, hey, I need a sword fight, which is a gay thing, but it's not in that case because you're married. Okay, there we go. And then finally, Pops in Florida, who apparently has turned for Trump. So I've been told, oh my God, what are we doing? Here's Pops. God bless your little heart.
Hey, kids. Several weeks ago, simply because I was out of other ideas, I started ranking the Haddam bars. The first two came along, I gave the thumbs up top pick award because I thought they were pretty cool. Last week, I gave the bar the thumbs down lame as a labradoodle award because I just thought it was lame. This week, I'm kind of in a quandary. The bar's on the strip.
Good.
Okay, minus one. It's at the Excalibur, which is kind of run down and campy and kind of old school these days. So I'll give it plus one. The drinks aren't $17 there. I'll give it plus one. The drinks are still $11 there. I'll give it minus one. It has a motorcycle. I'll give it plus one. It's not a biker bar. I'll give it minus one. It has a stage. I'll give it plus one. But then it advertises DJs instead of live music. So I'll give it minus one.
Damn it.
What the hell? I think it's a statistical tie. We're going to give it the...
These nuts!
What?
Toss up!
Oh. I'll leave a mark.
Oh, man. Look at that. Gee.
There's nuts every fucking where.
That's Pops, everybody. Well done, Pops. These are the people who hang out. By the way, you should see... You should see Doug looking at me during the video. He's like,
these nuts.
There's a good chance that you should be arrested. I'm like, Doug, these are my people. I love these people. I love them with
my
heart.
These are my groupies.
They're not called groupies, goddamn. Pops gets one for the correct answer. Pops gets one for being in the live chat. Pops. Pops gets one more for that video masterpiece. He has won 4.5 times. Wow. He's going for 5.5.
All right.
All right, good.
Now
here
what?
We go. Now we're gonna. Now what? We're gonna pick a winner, Doug.
My first time here.
Oh, you folded in the wrong way.
God damn it!
Oh, Dougie. Yeah. The guy's the CEO of Las Vegas Heels, but he can't fold a fucking post-it to save his life. What you? What, hold on. What did you do here?
I don't know. I screwed them all up, man.
Oh my God!
What are you doing?
You literally folded them. Well, I don't know. It doesn't even matter. Take a good look. Jesus Christ! Here we go. Ready? You're going to pick a winner.
I am?
Yeah, well, of course
Should
you
I
are.
Pick out the one that you told me to pick out before?
No. Oh, that's funny that you... We're going to miss you. I'm going to take over your space and make it a... I don't know.
We could put a door in there somewhere.
Just pick a winner, for fuck's sake. Stop the madness. Stop the bleeding.
And the winner is...
You know somebody. Stop the bleeding.
Jimmy. Gallagher.
2 G's. Oh, my God. Way to go, Jimmy. Longtime player. Congratulations. Okay, let's look at this week's quickly. Have a drink on me, and then we're all going to go drink. Stand by. Here it is. Okay. La-da-dee. Our first hint You know, it sounds like it could be named after a particular dating app known for hookups. If I replace an I with an E. Yes, it sounds like a name. It's named after a particular dating app that's known for hookups. If I replace the I with an E. Hit number two. I like my steaks and women just like this. That's right. I like my steaks and my women just like this. And hit number three. Given the location, it must be Pharaoh approved. Given the location, it must be Pharaoh approved. If you know what we're talking about, you're going to send that entry into haveadrink@vegasvideonetwork.com. Again, haveadrink@vegasvideonetwork.com. Look at you. You survived. Feel good? It's still not over yet. Hey, we want to thank you all for playing along. If you want to send in a question to have Doug or me or somebody read it, you're going to send it to onairq@livinginlv.com. Again, onairq@livinginlv.com. And wait a minute, you want to send in a voicemail because you have a beautiful singing voice, and I've always thought that about you. You go to our homepage, vegasvideonetwork.com, click that little red tab, and boop. You're going to see a little thing pop up. You're going to click start recording. And because you have a microphone attached to your computer, you'll be able to leave us a voicemail. But we're all over the place. We're on the iTunes. Hey, if you're watching us or listening to us on iTunes, leave us a 5-star review. You know why? You go to heaven. That's the rules. I don't make them up. Hey, if you're watching us on YouTube, give us a thumbs up and share us with your friends. And by the way, we're on Roku, over 73,000 accounts installed. We're on Stitcher, TuneIn, Chromecast, Apple, Google, and Fire TV, Google TV. Oh, don't stop playing now, Scott, because you're fantastic. And of course, the Vegas Video Network. Thank you to Doug Geinzer, the most connected. Did I tell you there's a guy who's like really excited? Who he goes like, I heard weird things about it, and I'm gonna have a meeting with him, and he's fantastic. Those you.
Huh?
I'll tell you about it because we're going to meet with him in a couple days. Okay. All right. Anyways, I'm thanks, scared. Doug. Yeah, me too. But he's a co-op member, so I'm pretty happy with him. All right. Regardless of what happens next tonight, I've got no energy. We'll see you guys next week. Take care. Thank you for not talking.